I want to share some scripture. Then I want to share a very brief teaching, and then I want to share a vision that the Lord gave me this week. And let me just say before I start teaching today that there is no situation, there is no current event or recent event or suspected event or group of people or anyone that I can think of right now that actually fit in the category of persons that I want to talk about with in just a minute. So I come before you with an absolute clear conscience that this message is not aimed at anyone. But it is something that is for all of us because the days that we live in are closer to the coming of the Lord than, well, let's just say 50 years ago. How close are we to the end? Some of the signs that we're seeing in the world currently, in my lifetime, make me suspicious that we might be closer than we thought. That's good news for some. It's bad news for others. I'm absolutely indifferent. I'm going to serve the Lord each day as though it were my last. And I'm going to look for him to return as though he could return any minute. And yet I have no idea what is in the future. And neither do you. So I want to take three portions of scriptures. If you can follow along with me, especially if you've brought your hard copy, even though you may not be able to read it in the sanctuary, use your little light on your iPhone. You say, Pastor, that's why I use the iPhone, because it lights up for me. Well, use that little light, shine it in your Bible, and find Deuteronomy chapter 13. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, and verse number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. This is Moses, the lawgiver. This is before Israel is really, truly Israel. God is in front of the thing, and he is going to tell them many things they need to know about life under the sun, living in relationship with God as their father. Chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, Moses speaks on behalf of the Lord, and he says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder. Can I just stop right here and say, I love signs and wonders, don't you? And our friends from global and our historic Pentecostal backgrounds, we're all about signs and wonders, are we not? Why is that? Because it reveals that Jesus loves people and he wants to change and transform and even to the point of creating a miracle. And that miracle is supposed to get our attention and show us that God is in the place. So we love signs and wonders, and there's no purpose in my heart to disparage that. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer or of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. The life expectancy of false prophets was very short in Israel. You are only one bad prophecy from meeting Jesus. But I do want to point out here that God actually says to them, he says, there's times when I will let the false prophets speak, and it will be a test to see if you will love God with a devoted heart. Will you discern between good and evil, between right and between wrong, between the word of the Lord and the word of a false prophet? Sounds fair? He's sovereign, so I guess we have to live with it. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. One verse, number 16. Jeremiah 23:16. If you're my age bracket, I cannot say the word Jeremiah without thinking was a bullfrog. But if you're younger than us who laughed, you have great heritage. You're doing better than we are. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophet who prophesied to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. So in other words, prophet prophesying something that is useless or worthless is probably speaking out of his own heart. You should ignore him. So let's jump. We went from the law of Moses to the correction of the prophets to Mark chapter 13 in the words of Jesus, verse number 21. In 22 and 23, Mark 21, I'm sorry, Mark 13, 21, 22, and 23. Say, Pastor Rich, we would read the Bible if you just told us where to really go. Mark 13, 21 to 23. Jesus speaking, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ or Messiah, or look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's a verse that's always troubled me. Like, what could possibly happen in the end of the age that even the elect, the lovers of God, could possibly be deceived? I believe that I've lived long enough to understand these words. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Here's what I want to teach from for just a moment. Matthew 7, we're going to stop at verse 15 and 16. And then drop down to 21. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaking to his disciples and would-be followers. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. I used to think that means that they look like Christians, but they're not. They look like sheep, but they're not. Let's talk about that in just a moment. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. And by fruits, I just want to insert the word spirit. You'll know them by their spirit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or fig trees from figs from thistles? And then he says, good trees, good fruit. Bad trees, bad fruit. Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, yet inwardly they're dangerous. Now, verse number 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, this verse also troubled me, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? This really just gets into the heart of like all of us who believe in prophecy and who, you know, okay, so there's a warning. You know, prophecy is wonderful, but there's a warning, okay? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Operative word is in your name. Verse 23, then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So from these six verses that I've just read in Matthew chapter 7, I want to say, first of all, number one, beware of false prophets. They look innocent, they may look like a friend, but they can be very dangerous. It used to be easy to identify false prophets. They'd come to your door, they would knock on your door, usually two by two. They come selling magazines. People run out the back door when they come and stuff. I've also lived long enough to see some of those cults, or at least one in my recollection, that has left their false prophecies and turned to Christ. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. Garner Ted Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God is now the Associated Church of God, and they love Jesus. So many people would be deceived because those young men that come to your door, they look so nice, and they're actually cleaned up and sometimes shaven and wearing a suit, and they do nice things for you. They'll do your laundry for you. They'll cut your grass, and people get sucked into it. They're just so nice. But how can they possibly be dangerous? On one occasion, we had a gal that was fellowshipping with us, and she had a lot of brokenness, a lot of issues, and the Lord had done many things in her life, but there's many more things that needed to happen. And she was very lonely, very, very desperately wanting attention. She's a young girl. And so these young men, very well dressed, come to her house and they paid attention to her. She accepted them, not really understanding their theology or their message, but she just welcomed them because they welcomed her. And then she eventually welcomes them into her house. And they come for Bible studies, and they're there two or three or four times. And then one night, she calls me in a panic. She said, these guys, I can't get rid of them. They won't leave. And she said, "I they're pressing me. They want me to do things I do not want to do. And therefore, I've asked them to leave, and they won't leave. And so I said, get the guy who's the most senior among them and put him on the phone. And she did. And I said, this is Pastor Rich Klein, and I understand that you were asked to leave this young girl's house. And they said, well, she invited us in, so we're free to stay here. And I said, no, if she's telling you you are to leave, then she wants, even though she invited you and she wants you to go now. And this guy said, hey, listen, we're going to stay till we're done here. And I said, well, that's fine. Then I'm going to hang up this phone and I'm going to call the police and they're going to be right over there and you will leave. And they said, we're leaving right now, Pastor. You know, that didn't make me feel happy. But there was a day when false prophets were just so easy to recognize. Amen? False prophets are not so easy to recognize right now. So beware of false prophets. Number two, beware of false confessions. In verse number 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This gets tough. This is just a little bit difficult, but there are those who will invoke the name of the Lord, rarely using the name of Jesus, but using the name of the Lord. These people can be God-fearing or confess to be God-fearing. They can be very patriotic. They can be, you know, in many ways, like upstanding, wonderful citizens. They're not invoking the name of Jesus, and that becomes the issue. They invoke the name of the Lord. In other words, they're not necessarily saying that Jesus is the Lord. How many of you know that that's one of the tests that we're supposed to use? Any spirit that is from God will confess that Jesus is the Lord, right? When people will not confess Jesus, you become suspicious. They won't confess him as being the Lord. So when they come along and they say to you that, you know, Jesus was a prophet and Jesus was a great teacher and Jesus was a great this or a great that, but when you actually say, who is Jesus, and they can't confess that Jesus is Lord, then we start to run into a problem. And I'm so sorry about your God. I just, you know, it's not arrogant if it's true. I mean, in other words, Jesus has provided for us many convincing proofs that he is actually the Lord. Can I get an amen? He is the Lord. He is the only Lord. He is the one true Lord. He is the divine, eternal Son of God. He existed prior to the creation of the world. God did not create him. There is God who is the Father. There is God who is the eternal Son, who's also called the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the first 100 years of the early church, there was a lot of debates about different things, and one of them was the Trinity. But what it really came down to was the issue of whether Jesus was actually God or not. Was he God's son, but not necessarily God who is divine? That was a very hard-fought victory. But I think it's one that the church needs to hold fast to today. That was a victory that was won a long time ago. Please never be ashamed to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Which is like, I don't have to pick on Muhammad. I just have to confess that Jesus is Lord. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to go around looking for trouble. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false confessions. Are we good? Everybody okay? How many of you know that you're going to need this stuff real soon? Like maybe when we walk out the door. All right, take notes. Beware of false credentials. Beware of false credentials. They said, wait a second. We prophesied in your name. And I would ask you, in whose name? In your name. Whose name? His name. Come on, I want to hear it. I want to hear you say Jesus' name. We prophesied in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to let all the global students off the hook right now. We prophesy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We do that. We're not false prophets. You're really underwhelming this morning. I know it's a subject you don't want. It will get better. Trust me, it will get better. Beware of false credentials. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. They did many wonders and even signs in your name. I want to know, will you confess Jesus? Will you confess that you did this in his name? I love when people invoke the name of Jesus, because when he does the miracle, he gets the credit. Beware of false prophets, beware of false confessions, beware of false credentials. Now, the most important one of all, beware of false intimacy. Jesus said, I never knew you. That's important. It's very important. This is the same phrase as we find in Genesis when it says that Adam knew Eve and she bore him a child. It's very important to understand that Jesus, he's not just a miracle sideshow act. He's not just a vending machine. He is the very Son of God who came in human form and lived among us, dwelt among us. He was crucified for us. He was resurrected for us. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for us. But that God, who is the very God of very gods, wants to know you. He wants to be intimate with you. That means that he wants you to share your secrets with him, and he wants to share his secrets with you. Why is that important? Because prophets need to be hearing the voice of the Lord. They need to be hearing the heartbeat of heaven. They need to be hearing. Prophets need. Listen, I'm not signing up, but listen, I'm just telling you that God is going to raise up 1,000 or 7,000. I'm not sure just what it's either 1,000 or he's going to raise up 7,000. I have reason for both. But he's going to raise up 1,000 prophetic voices or 7,000 prophetic voices in central Pennsylvania. But it's going to be important that if you are one of those voices, that you get up and you know his spirit, you know his heart. You know not just the word, you need to know the heart of the man. I'm always amazed that James and John, Jesus nicknamed them the sons of thunder, but they wanted to call fire down on someone who was praying in Jesus' name, but they weren't a part of the group. And, you know, we get stuck on that, you know, that party thing, that divisiveness, or they're just not a part of us, so why should we, you know? What is amazing to me is that they believed that they could do it, and Jesus never corrected them, like he had given them authority. And so if they had called fire down, I believe fire would have come down. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. It's very, very important that we have the right word connected with the right spirit. I think the world deserves a better witness than, look, I'm a mess. I'm just a messy person, and I'm a work in progress, and so please forgive the messenger. Please forgive the outer package of the person. Please forgive my need for grace. I understand. But after we're many years in the Lord, we should have got a little healing inside. We should be less messy than we were, so that we don't carry just his word, but we carry his spirit. We carry his message. Brothers and sisters, this is deeper than you think. It is deeper than you think, because we're thinking right now, like, what are those people? Who are those people? I'm telling you, you're surrounded by them. Sorry, this thing's bothering me. two things that Jesus was upset with about them is, number one, they didn't know him, which means they didn't come to spend time with him. And number two, they did not obey Moses nor Jesus. How many of you know you can't get away from obedience? You either obey Moses or you obey Jesus. You can be messianic, receive Christ as your Savior, and be born again. You can still walk in obedience to Moses. That's fine. That's really fine. But you're going to find that Moses and Jesus are really very compatible. So he's saying you're espousing lawlessness. Paul the Apostle said the mystery of lawlessness was already at work in the world in which he lived in. And if that's true, then how much more so 2,000 years later? One of the ways that we can tell that we're dealing with a false spirit is they don't carry the spirit of joy. They don't carry the spirit of joy. They don't carry the spirit of joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, but the work of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, but the work of the Spirit is joy. Joy in the hard times. Joy in the good times. Joy when God answers your prayer. Joy when he disappoints you. Joy when God has been so present. Joy when you're in the backside of the desert. Joy. The world didn't give it to us. The world can't take it away from us. I really want you to hold on to that, because you're going to be able to figure out false prophets by joy or the absence of it quicker than anything else. The absence of joy will show you the spirit of the world. Jesus issued a clear warning to his disciples and his followers, true followers of Jesus Christ, practice intimacy. And therefore they carry not only his word, but they carry his spirit, and they have an everlasting joy. Church, beware of false prophets. Any questions? I've got plenty. On August the 11th, Judy and I had dinner together, and I shared with her what the Lord had spoken or shown me in my private time. And she's like, "You got to write that thing down." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I do. I need to remember it." The truth is that God is so amazing and so beautiful that he can share by his spirit with us anywhere, anytime, any place. It doesn't have to be just when we're in that secret place. Anytime, anywhere, any place. How many of you appreciate the Holy Spirit? He's not the middleman. He's the very presence of Jesus Christ inside of us. And so she urged me to write this down. So I wrote it down, and then I felt convicted to type it out. If you want, I can give you a copy of it later, because, I don't claim any inerrancy in my remembering the vision and writing it down. I did the best I could. The truth is, it all happened in what seemed like a moment, but who knows how long it actually took place. But I saw all this very, very, very quickly. And so I'm recalling it and writing it down. And now I just kind of understand the dilemma men and women of old writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, although I don't claim that level of inspiration. I just can I can just understand the challenge of remembering everything that you see in a vision. How many of you know when you see a picture, you can remember a lot of it, but the whole thing is tough to recall. I saw in the Spirit while waiting upon the Lord a very artistic cutout background. And I just want to say that even though I am not artistic, I appreciate art, good art, you know. So what I saw was an artistic cutout background, or maybe I could actually describe it more like the tear out, construction paper. Like, so when you take various different colors of construction paper and you tear it out in shapes and images, you can create a scene. And it's very rough, but it's very beautiful and artistic. So what I saw was two or three toned. It was not black and white. The background was a depiction of clouds and the sky. Excuse me. Below the sky was a depiction of waves. Some of you might remember in the old puppet movies and puppet dramas and stuff that were televised, that you could put a sort of a paper wave on a stick and you could march it this way and you could march it that way. And there might be two or three rows of it. And it's probably people just going back and forth like that. So I saw waves. It's a depiction of waves in multiple rows. And those rows had people. It was a complete multitude that was standing among the waves. They were black silhouetted people. The people were all in silhouette form. Above the people, there were words in white letters. The words and the letters were all jumbled together. They were unreadable phrases or statements. Some of the people were clearly worshiping God, and yet these words were jumbled in with their words of worship. Excuse me. In other words, if you could see above the head of the person, where there should be like an encaption of a statement that that person is saying, what you would see was letters that were going in different directions and over top of each other. So the letters were distinguishable, but the sentences were not. And some of those people were clearly worshiping God, and yet their words were jumbled in with these words. Next, I saw in the sky all the way at the top and to the right. It was larger than all the other words, and for whatever reason, it was in black. It was a big word. Guess what the word was? Word. It was a big word. It was the word. It was larger than all the other words. It was a big word. The word was word. And from the big word, there was a sentence that was released. And I didn't see what the sentence was. I couldn't read it. It happened so fast. I didn't read it, or the Spirit didn't want me to see it. But when the sentence filtered down to the people, it cleared up their jumbled words. Their jumbled words suddenly became unjumbled, and you could read their sentences again. Now the multitude of people was reduced in number to just the worshipers. It was just the worshipers. And you could now understand their words. Their words had been cleared up as the sentence from the big word entered them. This is my vision. You can laugh, but this is my vision. It's one I saw. Next, I noticed out of sight and to the right of the people, there were objects and buildings and something. I can't tell you what it was. This was the source of the words the people were speaking when the words were all jumbled. It was actually not coming from heaven. It was coming from laterally. It was coming from offshore. It was coming across the people. And the people were parroting. Even the worshipers were parroting the words that were coming from those sources. Then I heard the objects and the buildings that were speaking these jumbled words, the Spirit said, they're false prophets. Instantly, I knew that they were false prophets, not because what they said wasn't true or didn't come to pass. Much of what they said was true. Much of what they said did come to pass. But they were false prophets simply because what they were saying wasn't the same word that the big word was saying. In other words, their word was their word. It wasn't his word. And then I knew in my spirit what the world desperately needs right now is a word from the big word, a word from heaven, lest we simply parrot what the corrupt word sources around us are saying. Remember, God sent a big word from heaven. His name is Jesus. He is God's beloved Son. And God the Father himself said, listen to him. End of vision. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. I'm just a pastor. I do not consider myself to be a prophet, though I have been known to prophesy. And I can tell you that the more I'm hanging around Jesus and the more he's hanging around me, the more I feel words in my bones that need to be released. And you're feeling it too. You're knowing it too. The truth of the matter is that our country and others alike have been decimated by false prophets, false words. They're not false words because the words aren't true. Many of those words are true. And many of the things they're saying are true, but they're considered false because they're from the heart of a man. They're not from the big word. I stand before you today and tell you that with all my heart, I want a word from the big word. I want to hear what he is saying. I'm going to tell you, it will offend some. I really don't care what they are saying, what others are saying. All I care about right now is what he is saying. Honestly, I don't care what you're saying or what you're thinking, because you and I are still in the same boat, in the same situation. Our airwaves are filled. Our podcasts are filled. Our media is filled with words that are from false prophets. And they've come in sheep clothing because we respect them because they're conservative. We respect them because they're liberal. We respect them because they're this or that or the other thing. And we don't realize they've snuck in a word and sown something in our spirit that God is not saying. I want to hear what he is saying. If it's not what I want to hear, I don't care. I want to hear what he is saying. There is a big word. His name is Jesus. This world needs to hear a church that has the word from the big word in their heart and the spirit from the big word in their souls. We need the healing that comes from his word. We need the healing that comes from his Holy Spirit so that God can release us in the world and we can love a world that is filled with false prophets. And we can love them with a word that will set them free, with a word that will heal them, with a word that will restore them, with a word that will lead them, with a word that will guide them. Right now, we're like sheep without a shepherd. Oh God, we need a shepherd. How we need a shepherd. I'm going to invite the musicians to come. And I don't know how to end this other than to say my challenge is that you and I will never recognize false prophets as we should unless we let the Lord know us, unless we are in that place of intimacy. See, it doesn't make me more spiritual than you. How much time has been has nothing to do with it. I think it's the culmination of day after day of presenting myself to the Lord. And I feel like that I'm like the dog that just keeps grabbing the pant leg of Jesus. And like, I feel like he's always moving ahead of me and I'm just holding on for all I can. And like, he's wanting to shake me and he's wanting to let me go. And I just kept holding on and I kept holding on and I kept holding on. And finally, one day the Lord turned around and said, I love you. And he picked me up. And so I'm just a dog wagging my tail, barking when I shouldn't. But the Master loves me. He loves me, and he loves you. He's asking. Well, there's a fast that's coming. I know it. There's a prayer time that's coming. I know it. But I sat with our leaders this week, and I told them, I refuse to call a fast. I refuse to call a prayer meeting until we start bringing our heart before the Lord daily, because what will happen is we'll just parrot the words that we're hearing off the shore. We'll just parrot those words even in our prayer. I want God to clean up the well of my prayer. I want the Lord to bathe me and baptize me in his Spirit to such a way that I don't know if you know it, but I just delivered a very difficult word. But I trust that you felt loved in it, because I'm not angry with you. Truth of the matter is that I'm living my best life. I'm enjoying life. I'm not angry at anyone. I have no dog in this fight. I'm just fixated by him. So I'm going to ask you, if you've got a dog in the fight, would you please, we're mixing our metaphors, but take that dog out back and put him in a pen, walk away. Come before the Lord. Just come before the Lord and say, Pastor, I will start by presenting myself to the Lord 10 minutes every day. Just, and I'm saying 10 minutes because I just want you to be with the Lord long enough that, like, you can't just give Jesus a peck on the cheek. You actually have to take a minute. And you have to express yourself to him and let him express himself to you. So when I say, you know, we need to get Bibles and we need to get back in this Bible, I'm not trying to mess with the cultural divide or norm. Digital format, thank you for it, God. Thank you for digital format. But I feel like that when I go here, I meet him. And I want you to meet him 10 minutes every day, beginning of the day, end of the day, middle of the day, whatever works for you. And the Holy Spirit sent me here today to tell you one thing, and that is that there are some of you that have made an excuse for not meeting with the Lord and saying, look, I'm not a pastor. I don't have the time you have to sit around. By the way, thank you for the support that you give me so that I can do that. Thank you so much. But here's what I've learned. After spending some time with the Lord, it doesn't make any difference if I'm in the secret place or if I'm painting the door or I'm cutting the grass. It doesn't make any difference if I was going to say changing diapers. I didn't do many of those. But you know what I'm saying is that doing the wash, changing the diapers, feeding the children, the mundane of life, none of it makes any difference now. It's just all Jesus. He answered my big ask. Why I spent my one first big ask was that he would allow me the privilege of beholding the Lord every day in his beauty. If you are here today and you're willing to make a commitment to the Lord and say, by the grace of God, I'll commit 10 minutes every day, I'm going to invite you to just come to the altar for a moment. We have to get running, so I won't keep you long. But I just want you to like symbolize that, you know, come out with it. Just come forward and present yourself to the Lord and say, every day, 10 minutes, it's up to you, when, where, how, I give myself to the Lord. I'm just really feeling like that if we get a group of people doing this, we're going to see changes, because the Lord told me there's the first he said 1,000, then he upped it to 7. So it probably means that there's 8,000 voices that he's going to release, prophetic voices in central Pennsylvania. They're going to come with his word. They're going to come with his heart. They're going to do miracles, signs, and wonders. By the way, the day of big miracles are coming. It is just around the corner. And the Lord said, he said to me, I have to be able to trust my people. It's so dicey right now. I have to be able to trust my people. If he gave us all the signs and wonders we're asking for and he wants to release right now, it goes straight to our head and we wouldn't know how to handle it. So in his mercy, he's delayed, but it's coming. The day of big miracles is coming. I'm telling you, it's just around the corner, but it's going to take intimacy. I do not want to be someone, the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, Jesus. Come and try me. Come and know me. Search my heart. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.